And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today is October the 7th. And my system is, it's the 280th day of the year. Only 85 days remain till this year's over with. I've been asking for assistance from my listeners. According to the best information I get, worldwide I've got 7 million listeners, give or take. And I'm trying to get some assistance with the city of El Paso, Texas, which seems to thrive on helping crooked roofers. None of the rules apply because I keep being told these are wonderful people who take our inspectors out to lunch every day. So why would we say anything negative about them? The Texas Rangers took a bribe to walk away. I mean, it's just gotten absolutely silly. So, anybody out there has got a little time on their hands, I'd appreciate a little bit of support. Well, on this day in 3761 BC, the epic reference date of the modern Hebrew calendar had its origin. 1403 AD, Phoenician-Genoese War. Genoese fleet under French admirals defeated by a Venetian fleet at the Battle of Modon. 1477, Uppsala University is inaugurated after getting its corporate rights from Pope Sixtus IV in February of 1477. If it's blessed by the spokesman for God, I mean, how can it go wrong? 1513, War of the League of Cambrai. Spain defeats Venice. 1571, the Battle of Lepanto is fought, and Ottoman Navy gets its very first defeat. Somebody's head rolled over that one. Well, in 1691, the charter for the province of Massachusetts Bay is issued. That made it official. 1763, King George III issues the Royal Proclamation of 1763, closing indigenous lands in North America, north and west of the Alleghenies to white settlements. All that did was piss off the colonists. 1777, American Revolutionary War. Americans defeat the British in the Second Battle of Saratoga, also known as the Battle of Bemis Heights. 1780, American Revolutionary War. American militia defeat Royalist Irregulars led by British Major Patrick Ferguson in South Carolina. 1800, French Corsair Robert Surcouf, commander of the 18-gun ship La Confiance, captures the British 38-gun ship the Kent. 1826, the Granite Railway begins operations as the first chartered railway in the U.S. 1828, Morea Expedition. The city of Patras in Greece is liberated by the French Expeditionary Force. 1840, Wilhelm II becomes King of the Netherlands. 1864, American Civil War. U.S. Navy ship captures a Confederate raider in a Brazilian seaport. 1868, Cornell University holds opening day ceremonies. Initial student enrollment is 412, the highest at any American university to that date. 1870, Franco-Prussian War. Leon Gambetta escapes the siege of Paris in a hot air balloon. 1879, Germany and Austria-Hungary sign the Twofold Covenant and create the Dual Alliance. 1912, the Helsinki Stock Exchange sees its first transaction take place on this date. 1916, Georgia Tech defeats Cumberland University 222-0 in the most lopsided college football game in American history. 1919, KLM, the flag carrier of the Netherlands, is founded, the oldest airline still operating under its original name. 1924, Andreas Michalakopoulos becomes Prime Minister of Greece for a very short period of time. 1929, Photius II becomes Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople. 1933, Air France is inaugurated after being formed by a merger of five French airlines. 1940, World War II, the McCollum Memo proposes bringing the U.S. into the war in Europe by provoking the Japanese to attack the United States, which is exactly what happened. Now, for those that are not familiar with the McCollum Memo, it's also known as the 8 Action Memo. Memorandum dated October 7, 1940, sent by Lieutenant Commander Arthur McCollum, who provided the President with intelligence reports on Japan and oversaw every intercepted and decoded Japanese military and diplomatic report that was heading for the White House. His job was director of the Office of Naval Intelligence, Far East Asia section. This particular memo was sent to Navy Captain Dudley Knox, who agreed with the actions described within the memo, and also went to Walter Stratton Anderson. Now, the memo outlined the general situation of several nations in World War II and recommended an 8-part course of action for the U.S. to take in regard to the Japanese Empire in the South Pacific, suggesting the U.S. provoke Japan into committing an overt act of war. Now, according to memo, several people within the Office of Naval Intelligence promoted the idea of goading Japan into the war. It's not believed that in the present state of political opinion, the United States government's capable of declaring war against Japan without something else happening. So, they laid out this 8-point plan that could provoke Japan to commit an overt act of war. Now, the McCollum Memo was first widely disseminated with the publication of Robert Stinnett's book, Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor. Stinnett wrote that McCollum's memo was a plan to mobilize a reluctant America into joining Britain's struggle against the German armed forces that was overrunning Europe. It called for virtually inciting a Japanese attack on America ground, air, and naval forces in Hawaii. Stinnett presents the memo as part of his argument that the Roosevelt administration conspired to provoke the Japanese to attack the United States in order to get the United States into the war without generating public contempt over broken political promises. McCollum, of course, denied that anything overt was planned, but I wouldn't bet the farm on it. They got exactly what they wanted. 1944, World War II, during an uprising in Birkenau concentration camp, Jewish prisoners burned down Crematorium 4. 1949, the Communist German Democratic Republic is formed, that's East Germany. 1950, Mother Teresa establishes the Missionaries of Charity. 1958, Pakistani coup d'etat inaugurates a long period of military rule of that country. Also in 1958, the U.S. manned spaceflight project is renamed Project Mercury. In 1959, the Soviet probe Luna 3 transmits the first ever photographs of the far side of the moon. 1963, President Kennedy signs the ratification of the Partial Nuclear Test Ban Treaty. 1963, the Buddhist crisis. Amid worsening relations, the outspoken South Vietnamese First Lady, Madame Ngo Dinh Nu, arrived in the U.S. for a speaking tour, continuing a flurry of attacks on the Kennedy administration. 1977, the fourth Soviet constitution is adopted. 1985, the Maymay's landslide kills almost 200 people in Puerto Rico. 1985, four men from the Palestinian Liberation Front hijacked the MS Achille Lara off the coast of Egypt. Now, I remember watching the news reports about it. It was a cruise ship based in Naples, built between 1939 and 1947 as the MS William Reyes. It was a passenger liner for the Rotterdamsk Lloyd, hijacked by Palestinian Liberation Front in 1985. The in other incidents, she suffered two serious collisions in 1953 with the MS Aranje and 75 with the cargo ship Yusuf, and had four onboard fires or explosions in 65, 72, 81, and 94. In the last of these explosions, the ship caught fire and sank in the Indian Ocean off Somalia. The as the Achille Lara, she was sold to the Flotta Laurel line and renamed the Achille Lara after the company's owner. Completely rebuilt and modernized, played a role in evacuating the families of British servicemen caught up in unrest in Aden. Made one of the last northbound transits through the Suez Canal before it closed during the Six-Day War. It was hijacked off the off Egypt that she was sailing from Alexandria to Port Said. The PLF hijackers held the passengers and crew hostage, and they directed the vessel to sail to Tartus in Syria, demanded the release of 50 Palestinians in Israeli prisons. After being refused permission to dock at Tartus, the hijackers killed disabled Jewish-American passenger Leon Klinghoffer and threw his body overboard. The ship then went back toward Port Said, and after 2 days of negotiations, the hijackers agreed to abandon the liner in exchange for safe conduct and were flown to Tunisia aboard an Egyptian commercial airliner. However, the plane was intercepted by a U.S. fighter aircraft and directed to land in Sicily. There, the Delta Force unsuccessfully attempted to extract the hijackers in order to try them in the U.S., which caused a Sigonella crisis. Four terrorists ultimately sentenced to prison terms by the Italian courts, while the operation's mastermind, who hadn't taken place in the actual hijacking, was given passage to Yugoslavia and vanished. All righty. In 1987, Sikh nationalists declared the independence of Khalistan from India. It's not internationally recognized, though. 1988, a hunter discovers three gray whales trapped under the ice near Alaska. Situation becomes a multinational effort to free the whales. 1991, Croatian War of Independence. The bombing of Banske Dvore in Zagreb, Croatia took place on this date. 1993, the flood of 93 ends at St. Louis, Missouri, 103 days after it began, as the Mississippi River falls below flood stage. 1996, Fox News Channel begins broadcasting on this date. They've been broadcasting for 25 years. 1998, Matthew Shepard, a gay student at the University of Wyoming, is found tied to a fence after being savagely beaten by two young adults in Laramie, Wyoming. He died 5 days later. In 2000, Israeli-Palestinian conflict, Hezbollah militants captured three Israeli Defense Force soldiers in a cross-border raid. 2001, the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan begins with an air assault and covert operations on the ground. 2002, the Space Shuttle Atlantis launches on STS-112 to continue assembly of the International Space Station. 2008, asteroid 2008 TC-3 impacts the Earth over Sudan. First time an asteroid impact is detected prior to its entry into the Earth's atmosphere. And in 2016, in the wake of Hurricane Matthew, the death toll rises to over 800. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day, Justinia of Padua, Henry Muhlenberg, in some Lutheran churches in the Episcopal Church of the U.S., Osgith, Our Lady of the Rosary, Pope Mark, Sergius and Bacchus, and in Laos it is Teacher's Day. Let's see what else we have. In 336, Pope St. Mark died. End his reign as Catholic Pope, left the papacy vacant. 1492, on this day, Christopher Columbus missed Florida when he changed his course. 1506, Pope Julius II and France occupy Bologna. He's known as the Warrior Pope. 1513, Battle of La Mata. Spanish troops under Ramon de Cardona defeat the Venetians. 1520, something that would please King Biden and his cohorts, the first public burning of books in the Netherlands, in Louvain. 1542, Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo, conquistador and explorer, discovers Catalina Island off the coast of California. 1571, the Battle of Lepanto, the Holy League of Southern European nations destroy the Ottoman fleet. That was considered the battle that saved Europe. 1637, Prince Frederick Henry occupies Breda. Frederick Henry was the Prince of Orange. 1690, the English attack Quebec under Louis de Baudet. 1702, British and Dutch troops under Marlborough occupy Rotterdam. 1714, people riot due to a beer tax in Alkmaar in the Netherlands. 1737, a cyclone causes 40-foot waves that are believed to have killed over 300,000 in Calcutta, India. 1765, the Stamp Act Congress, that's the first Congress that be held in the American colonies, convenes in New York City to devise a unified protest against the new British taxation. 1806, carbon paper is patented in London by Ralph Wedgwood, a well-known inventor. 1816, the first double-decked steamboat, the Washington, arrives in New Orleans. 1830, the Black Line begins. A levy of colonists in Tasmania, Australia, attempts to round up Aborigines onto the Tasmanian Peninsula. 1856, Cyrus Chambers Jr. patents a machine that folds books and newspapers. 1864, on this date, the Battle of Darbytown Road in Virginia. 1864, there was a naval engagement in Bahia Harbor in Brazil, the CSS Florida, versus the USS Wachut. 1871, a 16-hour fire injures 30 of Chicago's 185 firefighters. 1907, Francis Honoré Farman flies 30 meters in a biplane. He won the Grand Prix of Aviation. 1908, Crete revolts against Turkey and allies with Greece. 1915, an English nurse named Edith Cavell was sentenced to death along with 34 others by a German court-martial for running an underground network to free Allied soldiers. In 1916, the German submarine U-53 arrives off Newport, Rhode Island, sinks 9 British merchant ships in international waters. In 1928, Rastafari Makonnen crowned king of Abyssinia. You know Abyssinia as Ethiopia. And finally, in 1942, the U.S. and the U.K. jointly announced the establishment of the United Nations. And that was a major disaster. We've been talking about some of the scariest places in the world. And certainly there are a lot of them. The last one we talked about was the Lurie Mansion in Louisiana. In Malaysia, we've got the Penang War Museum. That's a British colonial fortress that echoes with tragic memories of World War II. Now, the British built Batu Mayong Fort on Penang Island in the 1930s to protect shipping routes and defend an Air Force base across the Malacca Strait. At that time, Malaysia was part of the United Kingdom's colonial empire, and the fort was staffed by British, Indian, and Malay soldiers. They had 6-inch guns pointed across the waterway to the Malaysia Peninsula. Now, surprisingly, the fort only remained in British hands for 5 years. 1941, the Japanese stormed toward Batu Mayong Fort. General officer of the British High Command said in rallying his troops, "The eyes of the Empire upon us. Our whole position in the Far East is at stake. We must hold what we have." Well, despite its 3-foot-thick walls, machine guns, bunkers, 6-inch guns, the fort was fatally vulnerable by being designed to withstand an attack from its sea-facing side. The Japanese approached from the island and invaded by land, taking the fort without a single shot being fired. Now, the soldiers manning the fort tried to destroy as much of the armament and munitions as possible to keep them from falling into Japanese hands, but most of it was left behind. For the next 4 years, as Japanese occupied Penang, the fort was used as a World War II prison camp. According to local historians, inmates were tortured and ceremonially beheaded. One execution was said to have washed the blood off a samurai sword with whiskey, which he then drank. His ghost has been sighted in the fort's tunnels. Today, this 20-acre fort complex houses the Penang War Museum. Visitors can explore the crumbling battlements, wander through the tunnel network and the gun emplacements in the bunkers, and even see the spirits of a number of the prisoners who were executed there. Now, from Malaysia, we go to Japan. Where the famed Suicide Forest awaits us. In these forbidding woods, it's said that all too many have given up all hope. You know, during the coronavirus pandemic, 6 times more people died in Japan in 2020 from suicide than from the virus, prompted Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga to name a Minister of Loneliness to his cabinet. That minister's job was to examine the problem in more depth and come up with a comprehensive strategy to deal with it. The shocking disparity, 20,919 suicides versus 3,492 COVID deaths, afflicted a country its long struggle with people taking their own lives. And no place in Japan speaks more to the problem than Okigahara Jukai, or the Sea of Trees. You may know it as Suicide Forest. There's a sign on the trail leading into the forest that says your life is a precious gift from your parents. Think about your parents, your siblings, and children before you take it. Now, many people unfortunately ignore that sign. As many as 100 people kill themselves each year amid the groves of ancient gnarled trees at the foot of Mount Fuji. In fact, the Suicide Forest has the dubious distinction of being the most popular suicide location in the country of Japan. In fact, when somebody goes missing, patrols immediately search the forest. In these dark woods, an eerie silence, unsettling stillness greets visitors. There are roots and tangles of wild grapevines that cover the rocky ground, and you don't know what's myth and what's reality. Some may be lured to the forest by romantic notions of suicide depicted in novels set in Okigahara. Others may enter happy and healthy and succumb to the atmosphere within the forest. Suicide Forest hits the news in another way when YouTube star Logan Paul posted a video of the forest in 2017 showed the body of a man who appeared to have killed himself. They got 6 million views in one day. The video sparked immediate condemnation and brought an apology from the Logan Paul, who said he was only trying to raise awareness of suicide. He said, "I won't do that again." We're from Japan. We turn our attention back to the United States. The Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania. It was said this prison was able to break the toughest of its criminal captives. It was known as one of the most brutal penitentiaries in the country. No less a tough guy than Al Capone, who went there in 1929 for his federal sentence, started to crack under the pressure. He even received special treatment. His cell had very nice furniture and a radio. And although his money and pull got him a cell decked out with rugs and the radio I mentioned, he'd scream at night when he was visited by the ghost of a man gunned down in the Capone-ordered St. Valentine's Day Massacre, though it was assumed he ordered it. I don't think it was ever definitively proven. Built in 1829, this fortress in Philadelphia was the last stop for the worst of the criminal classes. Every single inmate was put into solitary confinement, with just a bed, a sink, and a toilet, except for Capone. They also got a Bible, and they had to be content with their thoughts. Their heads were shrouded in hoods every time they were moved, so they couldn't communicate with anybody. While prison officials hoped the isolation would foster introspection, it more often caused insanity. When prisoners broke the rules, punishment was swift and very severe. The lucky ones merely got plunged into icy water baths in the middle of the winter. Others got clamped with a medieval-looking device called the iron gag. Their tongues were chained to their wrists so that the slightest twitch brought them excruciating pain. The biggest nightmare is to be sent to the hole, as it was called, a pitch-black underground cell with no fresh air that was populated by rats. And as you might guess, more than a few inmates went mad. Suicides and murders weren't uncommon. At least two guards were killed, and disease ran rampant in the tight quarters. Today, Eastern State Penitentiary houses only the spirits of the damned, and those who go to visit swear they've seen shadows shaped like faces and felt sudden gust of cold air, even though there's no way that could be. Some folks have said they've heard voices. One of them says, "I'm lonely." Well, certainly what took place there, what today we'd call cruel and inhumane. Now, from the Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania, let's go to Massachusetts, the famed Lizzie Borden House. It's now a bed and breakfast. The Lizzie Borden House is where she supposedly gave her mother 40 whacks. When her father saw what she had done, she gave him 41. She's one of the most famous accused killers. Though she was, I don't think she was ever convicted of it. She was indicted after her best friend said she'd seen her burn a dress a few days after the murder. She spent most of her life in the Victorian house in Fall River, Massachusetts, where one August day in 1892, police said she killed her mother and father and stepmother with a hatchet. Now, visitors to the Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast Museum can see the exact spot where Andrew Borden's body was found on a sofa. He had been struck as many as 11 times. Upstairs is a room where his wife, Abby Borden, was found in a pool of blood on the floor. She had been hit 18 times. The nursery rhyme overstates the number of whacks they received. When Lizzie's statements to police didn't make much sense, the 32-year-old was arrested for the murders. Remember, accusation equals guilt. Her trial became a newspaper sensation. Gory testimony, introduction of both victims' skulls into evidence, actually caused Lizzie to faint. After 90 minutes of deliberation, the jury came back with a not guilty verdict. She left the courthouse telling a reporter she was the happiest woman in the world. Well, she was ostracized by those in Fall River, but she spent most of her life there. Died in 1927 at the age of 66. Now, her death never squelched the belief she got away with murder, although there's no consensus of what would have driven her to actually commit the crimes. One theory says she was in a fugue state at the time. Another was that she got caught up in a lesbian relationship with her maid, and that caused her to kill her parents. Lizzie's ghost is said to choke guests who sleep in her bedroom. It's also been seen in the basement where she allegedly stashed the murder evidence. In August of 2021, the home's new owner started looking for an experienced part-time paranormal investigator who wanted to conduct ghost tours. And those who have stayed at the house for any length of time have reported being touched by an unseen hand as they slept. Well, from the Lizzie Borden House, let's go to Alcatraz in California. You know, the last hardened inmates were marched off the rock when it closed in 1963. It had been in operation for 50 years as a prison. But in spite of the fact that the bodies left, some of their spirits stayed behind, haunting the old cell blocks on San Francisco Bay that once housed the likes of Machine Gun Kelly and James Whitey Bulger. On foggy nights, you listen for the swinging of rusty doors and voices from the 8x4-foot cells. You can even hear music from time to time coming from Al Capone's banjo. He learned how to play the banjo while he was in prison. And guards have reported seeing an entity they call the Thing which has glowing eyes. Now, additionally, also in California, we have the Manson Murder Mansion. You know, the night after Charles Manson's followers slaughtered pregnant actress Sharon Tate and four others in a Hollywood Hills house in 1969, they stormed a Los Feliz neighborhood home and killed grocery store chain owner Lino LaBianca and his wife, Rosemary. Tate's rental house in Benedict Canyon has been torn down, but the LaBianca house still stands. Looking for a brave buyer who's not afraid of the spirits of the slain couple and that are said to haunt the place. The Spanish-style two-bedroom, two-bath home is owned by paranormal investigator Zach Beggars, who bought it in 2019 to use for a film production. He told the Guardian newspaper there was a very, very strong energy in the house. It's a beautiful place with a very dark history. Baggins ultimately scotched the filming idea out of respect for relatives of the couple and hung a for sale sign on the house, listing it initially for $2.2 million. It's now been reduced to $1.999. Maybe you'll get a buyer. Who knows? Well, from California, let's turn our attention to Romania. Brand Castle. Built in the 14th century on a steep cliff in Transylvania. This fortress has secret passageways, tunnels, stone staircases, conical towers, and rooms stocked to the ceiling with antiques and armor. Looks like something out of the pages of Dracula. You know, Brand Castle not only may have inspired the 1897 Gothic novel, but the Dark Knight himself, Vlad the Impaler, believed to have rested here between slaughters. And of course, Vlad the Impaler used to enjoy having meals while watching his enemies impale themselves on spikes. Then in South Korea, we've got Gangnam Psychiatric Hospital. Closed in the 1990s, this hospital deteriorated into something out of a horror movie with littered hallways and peeling paint and rusting furniture. So, of course, filmmakers swarmed in. The 2018 found footage flick Gangnam Haunted Asylum was shot on location, loosely based on a psychiatric hospital with fictional tales of mysterious patient deaths. It's torn down in 2018, so it only exists now on screen. Then in Illinois, we have the Iroquois Theater. Now, this theater was declared to be fireproof, so you knew there was going to be an issue. And an issue did arise in the worst way when a blaze ripped through the Iroquois Theater in 1903. The locked fire doors prevented the 2,000 theater goers from escaping, contributing to the death toll of 602. 212 of them were children. The back alley, which served as a morgue, is now haunted by the ghosts of the dead. In Louisiana, we have the Myrtles Plantation. Ghost of a turbaned slave girl is one of the many spirits that are said to lurk in his stately pre-Civil War mansion, where baccarat crystal chandelier jangles and beds shake and a piano plays the same chord over and over. And though people who spend time there talk about feeling sudden gusts of cold wind that just come out of nowhere. And before you say that's all a bunch of hooey, one visitor snapped a photo of what looks like a girl in an antebellum dress staring out of a window. And another person inside took a picture through a window and caught a Civil War soldier. Appeared to be standing guard. Well, speaking of Civil War, one of the most haunted places to go is the Gettysburg Battlefield in Pennsylvania. Now, a lot of tourists believe they've spotted ghosts on the battlefield at Gettysburg. One says she got a video of them. Eerie, human-shaped forms drifting behind the old cannons. Another claimed he got this strange, ominous feeling. These were the bloodiest 3 days of the Civil War in 1863. This region is viewed as one of the most haunted spots in America. In New Zealand, we've got Carrington Psychiatric Hospital. Originally called the Lunatic Asylum. It's a Victorian area facility in Auckland, operated for 130 years. Housed 900 mentally ill men and women at its peak. It's now a college for architecture and design, whose students blame these tortured souls for the flickering lights and the rattling sounds of keys and dancing shadows, books flying off the shelves, and the occasional shoves as they go up and downstairs. And in Scotland, we've got Cullendon Moor. It was the last stand for the Jacobite Rising in 1746. It's a windy, cold, desolate land. It's a site where 1,500 Jacobites and as many as 400 redcoats were killed in a fierce battle. Today, visitors hear cries of pain and the clashing of swords. According to Outlander author Diana Cabaldon, I've walked a lot of battlefields, and most aren't haunted, but this one is. And then in Romania, we have Corvin Castle. Built in the 15th century by Hungarian military leader John Hunyadi. It's a fairy tale looking castle with colored roof towers, a dungeon, circular stairways. Oh, it's an impressive sight. Locals claim that Vlad the Impaler was jailed there for years, which drove him mad. But it's based on what you might consider the thinnest of evidence. Then, we're going to talk about some other creepy places. Lithuania, the Hill of Crosses. Bulldozed by the Soviet government and covered with trash, but locals cleaned it up and kept adding to the tributes. And we got Veho Ronkonen in Finland. We've got bizarre and haunting moss-covered figures that grin with real human teeth. For more than 40 years, Veho Ronkonen worked in a paper mill. He was a quiet man, kept mostly to himself. End of his shift, he'd go back to his home in Parikkala, Finland, deep in the forest near the Russian border, and create incredible, strange, and disturbing art. Folk art legend in his country, he dedicated his life to sculpting life-size, pasty, white, concrete human figures in a variety of poses. Performing ballet and yoga, resting on rocks or up against trees, picking flowers, hunting birds with a slingshot. Most of these figures are nude or clad in leotards, and you hear unusual sounds coming from them, emitted by hidden speakers. Other sculptures seem to represent cultural activities, like the man playing a traditional Finnish instrument called a kanteli as women dance around him, or a trio of toga-clad men, and others simply defy interpretation. There's an Abraham Lincoln look-alike sticking out his tongue. There's a man chained to a tree being whipped by another man. Abstract trees with conical branches dot the landscape. The humans reflect multiple ages and ethnicities. Among them are whimsical animal cats, owls, a kangaroo, frogs, an ostrich, even a T-Rex. Another section of this unusual sculpture garden features smaller, mischievous children who dance and do gymnastics and are a little more modestly dressed than some of the larger creations. But the most bizarre are dozens of figures cloaked man with outstretched zombie-like hands, a nun eating a sinister casting a sinister sideways glance, a woman in a hat holding a purse for your coins. All of them have haunting stares from deep-set eyes. Many of their arms and heads are covered in bright green moss. Inner mouths are contorted into malevolent sneers, intensified by the fact that Runconan outfitted them with real human teeth. Something of a recluse, he never promoted his art or spoke to people who had wandered through his sculpture garden. He did have visitors sign a guestbook, though. He continued his work for nearly a decade after retiring from the mill, but was so shy that when he was awarded the Finlandia Prize from the Minister of Culture in 2007, he sent his brother to accept the award. He wouldn't come himself. And his influence has been left to conjecture. Many of the figures appear to be stylized self-portraits. He once said they were dedicated to his younger body, and his dramatic display of 255 figures doing yoga no doubt stems from his own interest in the mind and body practice. He took it up in the 1960s. As for the teeth, he got some from his late father's dentures. Where he got the rest, nobody seems to know. He said he never thought his work would attract the curiosity and the claim that they did. Imagine his garden being tombed in sand and left in silence for 1,000 years. Maybe one day excavated like China's terracotta army. But after he died in 2010, a Finnish businessman bought the property and cultural officials refurbished the sculptures for guided tours in what's now called the Sculpture Garden. Then in Italy, we have Paviglia Island. A forbidden area said to be haunted by victims of the plague and the dead from a mental asylum. One man who actually snuck onto the island said the whole place was just really weird and eerie. One local told of a ghost named Paolo who was always pushing. Well, if the Italian government ever goes through with its plan to raise cash by selling Paviglia Island, potential buyers can expect a couple of prime benefits. A stunning Venetian location in a lagoon and a good price from a motivated seller. But there is a downside. The soil may be 50% human remains. Beginning in 1776, this speck of an island, once used by Napoleon to store weapons, served as a quarantine station for people stricken with the plague. More than 100,000 infected people were believed to have died on Paviglia. And if the discoveries of mass graves on nearby islands are any indication, plague pits there are steeped in death. More bodies may have been piled up when the buildings were converted into a mental hospital in 1922. There were rumors of a sadistic doctor torturing patients and tossing them off a bell tower. After the hospital closed in the late 60s, the brick structures were abandoned and left to just simply decay. Although the island's off limits to visitors, people have snuck onto the island to explore the ruins. According to one, this island is full of dark, dark history. An urban explorer by the name of Matt Naden gave an interview with The Sun in October 2020. He said, a hell of a lot of people died there, and you really get a sense of the horrors that took place if you walk around and just feel the atmosphere. After Italy announced in 2014 it wanted to sell the 99-year lease to the island for a luxury hotel development, an outcry erupted to preserve the island as a public park and hostel. Well, today the island just sits empty, abandoned, vacant. Then in Singapore, we have Haw Par Villa. Death and suffering are all part of the fun at this particular attraction. In July 2021, Singapore's Tourism Board announced recent upgrades to the park, including a fully air-conditioned 10 Courts of Hell. Well, it's a theme park in Singapore. Before visiting it, though, you might want to have a little talk with the kids if you're going to take them. At Haw Par Villa, the dioramas feature a human head sprouting out of a crab, souls condemned to hell getting poked and flayed and boiled, young woman breastfeeding an older woman, and rabbits doing battle with rats to a bloody death. Discover a treasure trove of Asian culture, history, philosophy, and religion within Hall Park Villa's surreal landscape, according to the park brochure. It said there are more than 1,000 figures of humans, animals, and combinations of the two that decorate 150 scenes out of myths from Taoism, Confucianism, and Buddhism. The most famous attraction, the Ten Courts of Hell Cave, features a combination of Buddhist and Chinese folk stories with a king who considers a person's life, the good going to heaven, and the rest graphically shown under dramatic lighting, getting impaled and burned and fried and filleted and beheaded and disemboweled and dismembered. This theme park was created in the 1930s by Burmese Chinese brothers Ah Boon Ha and Ah Bon Par, with scenes added over the decades. Known then as the Tiger Balm Gardens after the medicinal ointment the brothers created, the park drew crowds of Singapore residents who today say they've warm childhood memories learning about morality and folk history. After the brothers died, the park got a $30 million upgrade and a new name in honor of the founders. It also got a creepy night tour that the park says to teach visitors how death stalked the Ah family and what Boon Ha did to confront his mortality. Now Singaporeans communicate with the afterlife. They said, "We promise you never see dying and living the same way again." And certainly that may well be true. Well, from Singapore, let's turn to the Czech Republic. St. George's Church. You know, they're ghostly white statues that silently fill the pews of this once cursed place of worship. The tribulations besetting the 14th century church in the Czech Republic would test the faith of any believer. Fires over the centuries would damage St. George's Church in the village of Lakova, and the congregation would have to rebuild it. After World War II, the Czechs, reeling from Nazi occupation, expelled the ethnic German parishioners, and the church's condition deteriorated again. The death knell seemed to come in 1968 when the ceiling collapsed during a funeral. Terrified congregants refused to return, feeling the crumbling church was haunted, and insisted on holding masses outside. As the church decayed, vandals and thieves took off with anything that wasn't nailed down, from paintings to the tower clock. Even the church bell was stolen. Then in 2012, an art student at the University of West Bohemia got a burst of inspiration. For a senior thesis, he created eerie plastic casts of his classmates and filled the pews with ghostly sculptures representing the German-speaking people forced from their church. The effect was so scary that some parishioners still refused to enter the church, thinking actual ghosts lurked among the statues. But when a YouTube video of the haunting tableau went viral, visitors from around the world began to flock to Lakova, 125 miles east of Prague, for a chance to experience for themselves what people began calling the Ghost Church. Well, thanks to an influx of tourists snapping selfies, the decrepit old church was reborn. It got a new roof in 2017, funded by donations. And once again, it's thriving. Well, Scotland's got an interesting haunted location. It's called Overton Bridge. Some suggest that dogs are spooked by the ghost of the white lady who said to be a grieving widow. But dogs keep jumping off this suspended structure. Now, maybe there's a perfectly rational explanation. Maybe the dogs are confused by the surrounding bushes and thinking the ground doesn't drop off as steeply as it does. Or maybe the smells of squirrels and mink below the bridge are driving the dogs crazy. Or maybe they're just dark forces at work. But the bottom line to this whole thing is dogs keep jumping off Scotland's Overton Bridge. Estimates range anywhere from 300 to 600 dogs plunging onto the rocks at the bottom of the 50-foot deep gorge. At least 50 dogs have died and many more have been injured. Now, it's a relatively recent phenomenon. Nobody can explain it. The three-arch Gothic bridge of cut stone spans a small river called the Overton Burn near Dumbarton, built in 1895. For more than a century, it seemed to be completely dog-friendly. Then in 2005, reports began filtering out about dogs sailing off the bridge with such abandon, folks thought the animals were dying by suicide. London tabloids, of course, picked up the story. Animal psychologist sitting in her ivory towers got involved. One suggested the foliage around the bridge fools the dogs into thinking they're on even ground, not high above a valley. The dogs' brains may be further scrambled by alluring scents from wildlife, male mink urine in particular. Skeptics have rejected these ideas, and locals note there hadn't been any mink in the area for years. But that doesn't stop an ivory tower scientist from coming up with what he considers a brilliant theory. A more popular theory among the famously superstitious Dumbarton residents is that something paranormal is at work. Maybe the effect of the bridge sitting on the thin place of Celtic lore where earth and heaven converge. That could well be responsible for the doggy suicides, as they're called. Well, let's go back to Japan for Nagoru. In this particular village, the departed were replaced by life-size dolls. These somewhat realistic figures can be seen in fields and houses and schools and other places where the original people lived and worked. The old school has long been abandoned, but it's filled with teachers, staff, and children. They're among the dolls of Nagoru. Handcrafted doppelgangers of the residents who died of old age or left this tiny Japanese village for better opportunities in the big cities. They're the work of artist Ayano Tsukimi, who returned to her hometown in 2001 to find the Nagoru of her youth was gone. Located on the smallest of Japan's four main islands, this remote village in the valley of Shikoku never was big enough to appear on most maps. But with the death and desertion, it was on the brink of disappearing forever. Her development as an artist came almost by accident. When birds invaded her garden, she built a kakashi, or scarecrow, that looked like her father and was so pleased with the result, she created dolls molded after other former residents out of old clothes and straw. She's placed hundreds of them all around the hamlet, some on the side of the road to draw visitors. There are fishermen next to the river, a utility crew hard at work, and senior citizens in chairs watching the world go by. In a 2014 documentary called The Valley of the Doll, she said, "I thought people would be interested and take photos if I put dolls to interest in the valley. I put them on the field doing work or waiting for the bus. As for whether one day there will be a Tsukimi doll," the artist laughed and said she told documentarian Fritz Schumann that she don't worry about her own mortality. She said, "I'll probably live on forever." And certainly that could be a possibility. We've come to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow and talk about some more of the world's scariest places. Till then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.